This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9. And there's certainly something a little bit queer about this throwback to the original Winnie the Pooh Disney classic, which we're listening to in celebration of the new film, Goodbye Christopher Robin, variety called Goodbye Christopher Robin, a honey sweet glimpse into the inspirations behind and fallout from author A.A. Milne's Winnie the Pooh series. Empire gave it 4 stars. So as we celebrate the theatrical release of Goodbye Christopher Robin on Outtakes this week, we are turning our attention to bears in queer cinema, from the Care Bears in their 1985 cinematic debut to Douglas Langway's Bear City. And to help us explore this hairy terrain, we will be joined by Bear City writer, director, creator, and Bear City mogul himself, Douglas Langway. So the Bear City films are, they follow the mishaps and lusty encounters of a tight-knit pack of friends in New York City who all have their connections to the gay bear community. So Alan and Gina, are you ready to go a little bit bear crazy this evening?
Woof, girl. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, woof, woof.
Yeah.
Is it like, hang on, how does it go? Like,
it's woof. Well, I have a definition of bears here.
That's bear language from Paddington.
That's bear language. We'll set you up on that later. Mm.
This is our bear special. You are listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
You bitch. No idea how bad it gets.
Sally, I think I'll buy the flowers myself.
But you're not a girl, you're a guy. And why would a guy want to marry a guy?
Don't stomp your little last season flat as she's a me, honey.
John Callio, will you go around with me?
Don't fuck with me, fellas!
Oh, I feel so damn sick and dirty, I can't stand it anymore.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Is butter a crumb?
I had a hunch you might be a real romantic.
We were decoys. He used us as bait. We procured for him.
We could have had a good life together. Fucking real good life. But you didn't want it, Ennis. So what we got now is broke right now.
Well, you are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, and we are going bear crazy this evening as we celebrate the theatrical release of Goodbye Christopher Robin, which, of course, reminisces about the creation of Winnie the Pooh. So as we reminisce about Winnie the Pooh and other bears in cinema, we're also queering it and looking at some gay bears in cinema.
Yeah, and Daniel, you going bear crazy is kind of a normal event for you. It's a weekly event.
Oh.
This happens every week for you. isn't it? I'm surprised.
We've taken a very different turn.
I'm surprised we haven't actually covered this topic before. Oh. Knowing how bad crazy, I didn't even know how to respond.
That is not true at all.
No, that is not true at all. Text in, people, and we'll give you the inside goss. It's coming.
Well, let me give an alert to our audience. If you are looking in Google for bear films, don't put Google gay bears in film if you're in kind of a crowded place. Anything might come in, into your Google searches. I recommend taking Google images off.
Is that NSFW?
There was lots of stuff that came up. Let's just say I'm glad I was a toy.
It's fair enough to point that out because not everyone knows what we mean when we say a bear. Because a lot of people would be thinking, you know, of Paddington or, I don't know, Winnie the Pooh or all of these other famous bears that have graced our screens.
And Humphrey B. Bear.
Big Ted and Little Ted from Play School, which were some of my favourite early bears.
Just Ted in general from the Seth MacFarlane farces.
But, you know, here in Melbourne, of course, those who listen to Joy would know who the bears are because they'd be listening to The Woods on a Thursday night and they'd be listening to the breakfast Brekkie Bears with Mark the Big Bear in the morning. So
they're coming back soon, aren't they?
They are coming back soon. But bears are a gorgeous subculture of our gay community.
Well, that's right. And we've already noted that we're going to be speaking with Douglas Langway later in the program. Douglas Langway is the director of a trilogy of films called Bear City. And they kind of feed...
It's like Sex in the City with bears, really.
But they kind of fit in that genre of gay kind of schlock, kind of cheesy...
Again, Sex in the City with bears. Yeah. Just more hair and less waxing. That's perfect.
We did ask Douglas what a bear is.
Bear City 1, 2 and 3. Please tell us, where did it start? Where did Bear City 1 actually start?
I've always been into the bears, and there wasn't anything out there for it except for a documentary that was not very produced. And America needed to see the big bear as a beautiful thing and a beautiful people, and I thought that I could do that.
Well, there, Douglas Langway on why he brought Bear City to the screen. But, of course, he's referring there to this kind of subculture, Gina, that you've been talking about.
Yeah, we love our bears. Now, there's not just one big bear when we talk about bears. And you can imagine we're talking hair, we're talking stature, but there are lots of bear, like little subcultures within the bear community. So you've got your udders, your wolves, your daddy, your pup, your twinks, all those kind of things. So
and your polar bears as well.
And your polar bears. Oh, my God. Ursula. I recently found out an Ursula is a lesbian bear. That's what I am. That's what I would be. Because I've always thought if I'm a gay man, I'd be a bear.
You'd be a bear.
Quite easily.
Yeah, I could see you as a bear.
A cub, hopefully. Yeah. Yeah.
So this evening on Outtakes, we're going to be exploring how bears are represented in film from, as we said, the Winnie the Pooh style.
Cuddly, fluffy,
right through the gamut to...
Cuddly, fluffy, gay. Kind of
a la Bear City and films of that ilk. So coming up right after this, we are going to be taking a look at the film that's inspired us to look at bears this evening. That is Goodbye, Christopher Robin. And we're exploring this. I think it's a really lovely film, Alan.
It is a lovely
film,
without a doubt.
You both cried. Come on.
I mean...
Well, Alan cried more. Oh. We are exploring Goodbye, Christopher Robin right after this.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Mum says you're writing a book to stop people going to war. I'd really like if you wrote a book for me.
Have you come to see my woods?
I'm going to call my bear Winnie.
You should call him Pooh. So if he ignores you, you can pretend you were just saying Pooh.
Pooh! Why does everyone like Winnie the Pooh so much?
After the war, there was so much sadness. Then Winnie the Pooh came along and happiness came out.
Well, that is the trailer for Goodbye, Christopher Robin. It's the film that reminisces on the origins of Winnie the Pooh and the author, A.A. Milne, who brought Winnie the Pooh to the screen. But, Alan, it's really a story about the relationship between A.A. Milne and his son, Christopher Robin.
Yeah, that's predominantly it. And also the relationship, or the lack of relationship, poor Christopher Robin, also known as Billy Moon, has with his mother.
Who's played brilliantly. brilliantly, I think, in this film by Margot Robbie.
Yeah, definitely. Probably the best I've ever seen her.
I agree with
you. She was remarkable.
Quite a nuanced performance. And the character is at once you want to feel sorry for her in a way, but at the same time you don't want to like her.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, you were definitely torn. There was that tension. But ultimately she was unlikable. Really, I think there was one redeeming moment, but you know, that hardly really counts for a life of selfishness and self-indulgence, you know, and neglect of poor little Billy Moon.
Now, the film has copped a little bit of flack for being saccharine, sentimental, very by the books. And I have to say, watching it, I did find it slightly elementary.
Yeah.
Even the soundtrack, which I think is quite touching and magical in a way, by Carter Burwell, who did the score to Carol. So, you know, we're familiar with his work, is very reminiscent of the score from Finding Neverland, and I was watching the film and I thought, this has to be by the same composer as Finding Neverland, and then of course I saw it was Burwell, and it's not, but it, again, it's reminiscent of this genre that we of films that bring the kind of origins of much loved stories to the screen, like Finding Neverland, and it is very by the books, it is very elementary, but you know, it's touching, and it's one of the better films that I've seen this year.
Can you look past it? Because I was reading one of the reviews where it's like, you know, the vintage cars are too shiny, the clothes are too smart, the accents are too strange and strained, and the dialogue's too contrived. Can you look past that?
You can.
Yeah?
I think you can. I mean, I think at its heart, this is a really lovely, touching film about relations between a child and their parents and how sometimes parents don't realize that what they're doing is actually hurting their children and they don't realize until it's too late. And I think that's what this film is about. And it's about that kind of tragedy of growing up and realizing that your parents, because Christopher Robin in this film has such kind of innocence. And we see as the film progress and he start and as his innocence is shared with the world in the form of these books and the story of Winnie the Pooh, he starts to lose his innocence.
That's right.
And starts to realize that his parents aren't quite all he once thought they were.
That's right. They're not the angels that everyone normally thinks their parents to be until much later on in life when we realize that they're not perfect. I think he starts to realize that much sooner. But I think the other thing that comes out in this film are some deeper subjects that come through.
Oh, of course.
After all, we have the A.A. Milne, who is fantastically played by
Domhnall Gleeson.
He's such a fantastic actor.
I didn't think he had the gravitas to command this story, because he's really the main, in a way, one of the main characters, if not the main character. For me, didn't have that kind of pull. But I'm intrigued that you thought he did.
Well, you know, I in the films that I've seen him, I've always thought that he's delivered a fantastic performance.
He's never been front and centre, though, has he?
Well, I guess not. But despite that, his performance resonated with me. But
Margot Robbie, what was
fantastic.
She like?
Great.
Yeah. She
really
was
good.
She was amazing. And I think some of the deeper elements that came through here was looking at post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't think enough films have really explored that terribly well, and definitely not in relation to the First World War or the Second World War. I think that was something that really came through very well. And also postnatal depression as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were each suffering in their own way. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think one of the things that this film does really well, and films of its ilk tend to do it really well, is show how something beautiful can come from something quite tragic and quite sad. And there is a sense that, you know, all this boy Christopher Robin wants is love, he can't find it.
No.
But yet we get this story that entrances the whole world. And, you know, I grew up to Winnie the Pooh, like,
did you?
in kind of Disney.
Did you? Yeah, totally. I didn't.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely.
And I have to say,
Tigger and Piglet and the whole crew.
Yeah. And Disney has kind of reinvented Winnie the Pooh through the years for different generations. And I did grow up with it on a Saturday, you know, Disney cartoons. And I mean, I feel like the film actually does capture the spirit of Winnie the Pooh, which has always been about kind of friendship and love and family and these kind of sappy saccharine concepts that are actually really quite touching. And I did find a clip from the 1997 Disney film, Goodbye. I think it was one of the first Disney films that actually dealt solely with Winnie the Pooh. This is a clip between...
You mean there's more than one?
Oh, there's more than one Disney Winnie the Pooh? Christopher Robin and Winnie the Pooh, and I think it captures the essence of how these stories have resonated.
Pooh Bear, what if someday there came a tomorrow when we were apart?
As long as we're apart together, we shall certainly be fine.
Yes, of course, but... If we weren't together, if I were somewhere else?
Oh, but you really couldn't be, as I would be quite lost without you. Who would I call? On those days when I'm just not strong enough or brave enough.
Well, actually...
And who would I ask for advice when I didn't know which way to turn?
Who...
We simply wouldn't be.
Oh, Pooh. If ever there's a tomorrow when we're not together, there's something you must remember.
And what might that be, Christopher Robin?
You're braver than you believe, and stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think.
Well, there it is. I really do feel like that clip captures the essence of Winnie the Pooh in so many ways. And the essence of Goodbye Christopher Robin, which again is about these relationships and the importance of these relationships and apprehending how important they are.
Mm. Hey, Daniel, I'm going to have a little aside there. I mean, listening to that clip, I now realize that, you know, I didn't miss Winnie the Pooh in my childhood. I think I probably would have fallen asleep if I was watching it. And that's probably what happened, which is probably why I don't remember it. But
well, that happens in most movies you see nowadays.
Shush. Hey, I think the other thing that we do touch on from time to time here in Outtakes is we do talk about intergenerational trauma and how the trauma that the parents experience can flow down to the next generation and to subsequent generations.
We've done a whole show on it.
We have indeed. And I think this is something that we see here. And this is something that as queer people we experience in our own queer existence is the intergenerational trauma that exists with our own queer lives. So, and I think that sort of resonates for me in this film, how that is visited upon poor Billy Moon, who is that's the alter ego. That's the alternative name for Christopher Robin that they have within the family. But I think we should talk about Will Tiltson, who plays the young Christopher Robin. I mean,
first film.
Absolutely remarkable performance. But Daniel and Gina, I have to tell you, I was kind of struck by the similarity that this poor this young boy has with Natalie Portman.
We saw those photos. So we asked you to delete them off your phone immediately.
I did delete them off my phone. But you have to agree with me that this young boy looks so much like Natalie Portman. Every time I saw it, I'm thinking Queen Amidala.
I did not see it. But you started messaging simultaneous pictures of Will Tiltson and Natalie Portman.
And the last one you said, yes.
There was a similarity.
Boom. But despite that, fantastic performance.
No, look, it is a really sweet film, and it does. I think we were having a chat, Alan, before about how it kind of transports us back to the innocence of youth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something really special about that. Yeah. And it's the rare film that can do that successfully. Mm-hmm. And despite what's being said about the film, despite it is elementary and saccharine and sentimental and very Hollywood-esque in a lot of ways, despite all of that, it has a charm.
It does, Daniel. But, Daniel, I've got a question for you. Who do you think is the target audience
for this film? I was about to ask you, because this sounds, you know, British kind of drama, historical kind of period drama. It doesn't sound like it's a kids' film that you would go and say take. So do you think, who would you say is the target?
Who's watching it?
I have to say, I saw this film on Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
And the cinema was full of senior citizens.
Yeah.
It was
probably people that have grown up with the authentic books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised. I expected that there'd be a lot of children with their parents. Mm. Not one yep. child in the yep. cinema. Mm-hmm. All older audiences. One lady behind me who couldn't stop burping the whole way through the film, and I found that really distracting. So if she's listening. I'm joking. I was surprised by the audience that the film attracted. I do, on reflection, think it probably does suit an older audience more, mm-hmm. who want and will enjoy being transported back to the innocence of youth.
Look,
back,
I think the poster, childhood. You know, looking at the poster, it does attract, even though there, you know, in part of the film's poster, there is, you know, him with a young boy. I think in the look and feel of it, it is going to attract an older audience. So parents
for
might,
me,
yeah, not
for
might kids. Not be a bubs and mums and bubs and dads session.
No, for me, the most obvious comparison is Finding Neverland with Kate Winslet and Johnny Depp, okay. a Mark mm-hmm. Forster film, which I adore. I think there's so much about that film that is just so good. But in terms of sensibility and emotional tone, the film is very similar. So audiences who enjoyed Finding Neverland, and again, seeing how something very beautiful can come out of something quite sad and tragic, mm. I think we'll really enjoy this film.
Yeah. I agree. And ultimately, if you love a tearjerker, this is a great film.
Well, it had you bawling, didn't it?
Well, you know,
don't just dub him in. You were as well.
By all accounts, I cried more than you.
Yeah.
Nothing like a good cry. And you know, if you like a tearjerker, then this is one for you. Guaranteed tears.
So we are in honour of Goodbye Christopher Robin celebrating Bears in cinema. More of that celebration coming up right after this. Alan, this one's for you, knowing how much, how sorely disappointed you are about the lack of Winnie the Pooh in your childhood. You know, I said it's like reinvented every generation. Well, this was the introduction to the Winnie the Pooh kind of Saturday morning half hour program that I grew up to. Okay. So you're listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
Gotta get up. Gotta get going. I'm gonna see a friend of mine. He's round and he's fuzzy. I love him because he's just Pooh Bear, Winnie the Pooh. Nobody home. It's nice to be able to count on a friend like Pooh Bear. We need a Pooh Bear. Wherever you go, oh, won't you take me, please, Pooh Bear? I gotta be there. It's me and it's you, my silly old Winnie the Pooh.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where this evening, in celebration of the theatrical release of Goodbye Christopher Robin, which I think we agree is a really touching and lovely and heartwarming film, yeah. We are celebrating Bears on the screen from the Care Bears in their first cinematic incarnation in 1985, right through to the very gay Bears in Douglas Langway's Bear City trilogy, where queering Bears on the screen. And we've had a message in, Gina.
Yes, we have, which I can't read, so I'm handing to Alan.
I think because we're talking about who was the audience for Goodbye Christopher Robin, yeah. and we had a message in from Anonymous who says, you know what, all the young kids were at Justice League. And he also says, this person also says, shout out to the gay flesh as well. Yeah.
So we did a program on Justice League just last week. Just so if you want to catch our very queer reading of Justice League.
It wasn't the best review. I'm glad I've avoided it.
One star.
And yeah.
I think it was one star all round though, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Well, even Naya was kind of, I had deliberately avoided it because I loved the Wonder Woman film and I didn't want to see her trashed again until next year when the next film comes out. So I'm kind of glad I'm boycotting that one.
But if you want to message in like Anonymous, you can message in on 0427JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au.
We'd love to know what your favourite bear in film is. And like we said, you can choose a teddy bear, a cuddly bear or a gay bear. And if you were a gay bear, what gay bear would you be?
Well, I think we know what gay bear you would be.
I'm Ursula, clearly. Not Goldilocks.
Well, Ursula literally means bear, doesn't
in
it?
German.
In German, yes.
Yeah.
So, which is why so much has been said about Ursula in The Little Mermaid. Well, we have to have the obligatory Disney reference.
Totally.
But isn't Ursula, isn't that derived from like the Greek word? No. I'm only one.
Look, I just love that during the break, like you boys were talking about crying during that film, and then we all got a bit teary talking about our own teddy bears growing up and how we all remember the traumatic night all of us probably lost a teddy bear and couldn't go to sleep.
And you know what? I blame the parents for that because, you know, they did that deliberately. They deliberately deprived
you had a very different story
of our teddy bears. They did that because they thought it was time to grow up.
Well, you were a Paddington Bear fan, weren't you?
Yeah, I watched Paddington Bear. I really quite enjoyed it. I mean, and I was surprised because Nicole Kidman was in it. I was surprised. Like, I'm like, oh my God, Nicole's here. And she looked, you know, she was really very much channeling her character.
I thought she was channeling
from the Philip Pullman books, The Dark Objects. You know, there was that film.
Oh, yes. Golden Compass.
The Golden Compass.
I thought she was channeling Satine.
Like Satine from Moulin Rouge. Really?
The way she kept saying yes.
Ah, right.
Whereas I grew up with Fozzie Bear from The Muppets and love Fozzie Bear.
Fozzie Bear was awesome.
Fozzie Bear was great. Yeah. Just the cutest little musical kind of bear. He was just so cool. Yeah. He was one of my favourites growing up.
But didn't we all grow up with Humphrey B. Bear?
Oh, Humphrey B. Bear,
totally. The bear with no pants.
I mean, I was always frustrated.
It was always funny that he had a vest and a hat, but no pants.
Yeah, just like Paddington. Paddington but of course, Bears had a hat and a duffel
Big
coat.
Ted was always, I think there's a little Ted now, actually, on Play School. And we do love Play School because they have, in 20 years, had two gay parents featured on the show. I think 10 years apart for both of them. But go you Play School every decade or so, you throw on a gay family. Thanks for that.
This is a good thing.
So what is it about the bear that seems so ripe for kind of children's stories? I mean, let's take Disney for instance. Disney is behind some of the best adaptations of Winnie the Pooh, but also in 2002 Brother Bear, which was from the makers of pretty much every great Disney film in the last 20 years. Unfortunately, Brother Bear didn't quite reach those heights, but it is a really kind of charming reimagination of this kind of transformation paradigm that Disney channels so often with films like Beauty and the Beast and The Little Mermaid, and this journey of transformation, which is visually represented in this transformation to another animal or something like that. Mm-hmm. And of course,
Bears itself, which was another Disney nature film, which is a popular one in 2014.
Yeah.
But that features real bears, but kind of in that kind of narrative storytelling as they wake out of hibernation. Mm-hmm. And they've all got cute little character names. So young kids wouldn't know the film.
Well,
bears.
I was thinking Baloo from The Jungle Book.
Okay.
Which is like the kind of oldest kind of representation of a bear that I can think of from cinema.
Yeah.
Like this kind of first character bear that we saw, because Jungle Books, I think it was early 60s.
That was the Disney film. And then we also had the recent reworking of that.
Right.
But I'm liking some of the more inappropriate bears we're starting to see in films. So Toy Story 3 had lots of Huggin' Bear, who was not a lot of Huggin' Bear. And Ted. We all know the film Ted with Mark Wahlberg, with the pot-smoking, you know, beer-drinking kind of inappropriate, sexist, misogynist teddy bear Ted that kind of puts Mark Wahlberg's life in kind of hiatus as he kind of takes over his life. I mean, it's nice kind of seeing, you know, these childhood kind of beautiful characters being ripped apart with these new iteration of toys and teddies.
And what about Yogi Bear?
Oh, my God, Yogi Bear.
Yogi Bear and Boo Boo.
Oh,
See, there's something about
what
the
about
bear.
Them? Yeah.
And can I just say there is something about the bear. So I'd like you all to get out there and petition. Donald Trump has recently signed a petition. Okay, I'm getting political here.
Has he signed an executive order?
Literally last week, hunters in Alaska can now track and kill hibernating bears. They're sleeping, for goodness sakes. Gonna even go there. So get out there, petition, and save those beautiful bears.
That's just some evil, isn't
now,
it?
There's
so much wrong with that.
Yeah, totally.
Sleeping bears.
I mean, like, they really had to convince him to prevent African hunters from bringing back, you know, ivory tusks. I mean, seriously, what is this man?
Yeah. Now, Alan, I'm surprised that we haven't gotten a pun or two from you yet this evening.
Well, we got a Nicole Kidman slapback. I mean, that's kind of...
Yeah. I was waiting for some kind of bear necessity quip.
Oh.
No.
Didn't happen.
No.
Because, of course...
I might channel it later, though.
The reason, like one of the key reasons that I wanted to do a bear show is so that we could play the bear necessities.
Are you going to play it?
I am going to play it, but there are so many versions, right?
Oh,
so,
is it going to be bearable? Oh, we'll try. We'll give it a whirl.
So this version that I'm going to play is not from either of the Disney films, but it's from this guy called Jonathan Young, who kind of reinterprets a lot of Disney songs in this very kind of rock way.
Mm-hmm.
So this is his take on the bear necessities. You are listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
Look for the bear necessities, the simple bear necessities. Forget about suburbs and your strife. I mean the bear necessities. That's why I'm making recipes. It's just the bare necessities of life. Come on. For the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities, forget about suburbs and your strife. I mean the bare necessities of Mother Nature's recipes and bring the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be fonder. Go to the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants and maybe try a few. The bare necessities of life will come to you. The bare necessities of life will come to you. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your voice and your style. Fall apart in my backyard. Let me tell you something, little princess. You're working too hard. And don't spend your time looking around for something you want that can't be found. When you find out you can live without it and go alone, not thinking about it, I'll tell you something true.
Like that version.
I don't know. Our audience are going to have to get their bearings again. They are watching,
you know,
listening to Outtakes, a queer film show.
You know what, Daniel? I don't know where you found that from, but you know what? I just had to grin and bear.
Yeah. It was a bit unbearable, wasn't it?
Definitely.
Well, so
you got him all grizzly now.
Yeah.
Time to give him some honey. Come on.
Gina, you're on a roll. Man, you're going to be good at this.
If you can't tell, we're looking at bears on the screen this evening.
Now, we haven't looked at Australian bears.
No.
Koala bears.
Blinky Bill.
Oh, and that is a type of bear as well for our little Australian gay bears. Blinky Bill is a type of gay bear. A koala bear.
A koala bear is a type of gay bear.
Does
that refer to Australian bears Australian overseas?
Bears. Well,
we're referred to as koala bears.
You know, if you had a bit of a...
Did you just use the inclusive we?
No, I was actually using the we as in...
Was that a coming out of sorts?
No.
He's going to bury that deep into his subconscious before anyone notices.
You know what, moving on from that, we've actually had some messages.
Oh, have we? Thank God.
We've had some messages, you know. And, you know, we're asking if this was a kids' film, and you know, John from Broadbeach says he loved the film on so many levels.
Goodbye,
Christopher. He said, "Yeah, I loved the film on many levels. I'm a parent, took the kids all in tears."
Oh, my children cry. No, I'm kidding. Well done.
No, it was a sweet film. Thank you for messaging in, John. And Alan,
good on you, John.
Message. And we also have a message from another Anonymous. And Anonymous says, how about the music group Bears from Country Bears, starring Christopher Walken?
Do you know that one?
Do you know that one?
No.
Oh, you might. We might have to get that person to text in and let us know.
Oh, my God. I didn't do research. Anyway, moving along. We'd love to hear what your favourite bear is, or if you've got a good bear pun, or what gay bear you'd be.
I think you use just about every bear pun there is tonight. Yeah.
Message in on 0427JOY949 or email us on air@joy.org.au.
Now,
you can bear your soul.
Love it. Points.
Like
double
one?
Points.
That's a point, that one?
Double points for that
Didn't
one.
Get a laugh from Gina, though.
No.
I'm just too busy giving him points for that. I was going to say another favourite bear. You know the teddy bear in Sleepers in Seattle when Meg Ryan finds it at the top of the Empire State Building? Famous bear, Jonah's little bear.
Or the bear from The Simpsons?
Yeah. Oh, cute.
Which I think actually, you know, on the fly here, really captures the essence of, like, how much people love their bears, which is something you were talking about before.
Totally.
So, look, if you can't tell, we're looking at bears on screen. Now, we have promised to queer this genre, and we're going to be doing that right after the break by speaking with Douglas Langway. Now, Douglas Langway is the writer, director, producer, creator of the Bear City trilogy, which I think we all agree is probably the best and certainly the most famous.
Funniest, too.
Yeah. It's best and most famous, I think, representation of bears on screen, and certainly does a really good and nuanced job of representing the bear community, which is, let's be honest, something that we don't see on the screen very often.
No.
Alan, I know that after the break you're going to be giving us your list of the top bears in Hollywood, but I have to say I really struggled to come up with bears in Hollywood because we tend to like our men on screen to look a particular way.
You know what? There's plenty there if you go hunting.
You know there's a bear-a-palooza? There is a bear-a-palooza.
What's that?
Where all the bears get together for outdoor festivals. Bears are huge. I think overseas as well. But, I mean, we've got our own bear community here in Melbourne that's thriving.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're going to be exploring this rather gay facet of the bear on-screen genre right after this. You're listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9, the home of queer cinema, where in celebration of Goodbye Christopher Robin, which has just hit cinemas and tells the story of the origins of Winnie the Pooh, we are celebrating bears on screen.
Totally. And Bear City, I mean, Bear City is now a trilogy. So that's the reason I kind of recommend people check it out. And if you like Sex and the City, and that's what we're saying, this is cheesy, funny comedy. You know, this is not, it's schlock, but you know, sometimes we like to see schlock. And we need to see ourselves in those kind of films as well.
While we're talking about this kind of genre of cheesy kind of gay, and let's be honest, it is gay.
Yeah, it
schlock.
Is. Mm-hmm.
that was really big in the early kind of noughties, and we don't see as much of it anymore.
And can I be honest, after the last few weeks where we've all been a bit emotionally drained from the marriage equality plebiscite, you know, everyone's kind of watching The Love Actually that's on repeat nonstop, you know, at home. But I would rather be watching sloppy, don't make me think too hard, queer, fun films. So things like Bear City is something you can just escape to. We need to escape to our own films and our own selves on screen. That's why I like Bear City.
Yeah, well, we sat down with Douglas Langway and we had a chat about why this trilogy of films, which explores the bear community in New York City and a small group of people within that community and kind of follows them through their lives and really kind of takes us on this big arc with these characters. We sat down and had a chat with Douglas about why these stories are so important.
Bear City 1, 2 and 3, please tell us, where did it start? Where did Bear City 1 actually start?
I really, you know, I've always been into the bears and there wasn't anything out there for it except for a documentary that was not very produced. And America needed to see the big bear as a beautiful thing and a beautiful people, and I thought that I could do that.
The films have been likened to Sex in the City, but for, I guess, gay bears. Was that something that you set out intentionally to do?
Yes, yes. It was definitely... Well, you know, I wanted to make... At the time, Sex in the City and Entourage were sort of in the mix. And, I liked that format. And then, but really it was about friends in my life that I knew about and myself as a... You know, I find myself the protagonist, Tyler, who's a young Tin Chaser, which I'm not. But at the time when I wrote it, I was. Bears always seem to end up looking like each other once they hang around with each other. So we started that way, and I just took friends' lives and put them on the screen, and we took it to the film festivals, and we won a bunch of awards, and people loved it, and it really struck a chord with the film community and the gay community.
Clearly, it has struck a chord with the gay community, and particularly the bear community. But what I love about these films is that, yes, you've started off with this idea, a kind of gay Sex in the City. Not that Sex in the City wasn't gay, but what you've done over the course of these... what you've done over the course of these three films is you've kind of broadened your thematic approach to other themes that really resonate with the gay community, but also the bear community.
The plan was to make something that everybody can understand, and the quest for love is something that anyone can understand. The bear community just has some specifics in it that I wanted to address. Issues, you know, health issues, hair, you know, self-esteem. Those are things I want to address, but at the same time, I also wanted to celebrate the fact that this group exists for those people to be able to be out and free and happy.
Have you found that the Bear City has kind of spoken? I mean, the bear subculture is found here in Australia. It's there in the States. It's in Europe. It's massive in Spain. Are you finding that this story is resonating with the audiences worldwide? Is there a common bear story theme or thread that kind of speaks to the bears all over the world?
A multicultural bear.
Yeah.
I think so. Absolutely. I think that bear in itself has grown so large and within so many communities, because I think that it still is all about that natural look, that natural feel and attitude and inclusiveness that bears give off and the way in which they talk to each other and spend time with each other. And I think that's something that's magnetic. Yes, they've definitely resonated all over the world, and we've traveled a lot with it. Obviously we're here in Australia. We've been everywhere, and the Aussie bears have just been wonderful. The Harbor City bears have been just wonderful for us. And, it's just been a great experience. But the more and more things that we did get was sort of suicide letters from people from the Middle East, different places which wasn't so free and open.
Wow.
And they decided that they found this movie, And so I've gotten over 100 of them now, these kind of end of your rope letters that have a turning around because of the movie. So, as a filmmaker, that's really important to me, because that's really what you want.
So people writing to you saying that these films have given them a lifeline? Is that what you mean?
Yes, that's absolutely what I mean.
Do you think what that comes down to is the importance of seeing ourselves on screen and the importance of representation?
Absolutely, and I think that this has definitely paved the way for that, and hopefully other bear filmmakers will follow. But yes, I think that this, they weren't on the screen enough. And so to see it really changed some lives. And, you know, the first movie we did out of New York, and he falls in love. And the second movie is more about gay marriage. And at the time, marriage equality was not happening. It was still not legal in America when the second film came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not here, and we're still working on that. But mm-hmm. So the second movie deals with marriage. And then the third movie deals with, you know, mortality and basically family. And so in the third one, they're at this campground called the Woods Campground because they're having a baby. And then this whole experience happens, and I don't want to ruin it. But so in the trilogy, you get to see what I think all gay lives are. It's like, you know, you try to find love, and then you want to stay with that person, and you want to build a legacy.
That's what I love about these films, Doug. There's clear progression in the story that you're telling, and the story's telling themes that resonate with the whole spectrum of LGBTIQ experience.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, as you noted a bit earlier, you're representing themes that are quite particular to the bear community, and I was hoping you could tell us a little bit more about some of those themes.
It's kind of like anything. I think that people see the bears as bigger, heavier, hairier, and think they're kind of, we all go through the same thing. Some people don't think they're hairy enough, they don't think they're big enough, their body, their belly doesn't work exactly. We all have, like, you know, that sort of issue of body image how that works out. So that's a universal theme. But there are things when you are, you know, a bear, sometimes than a big bear, you can be heavier, you can deal with health issues, and the first movie you saw that.
I always feel like there's that gorgeous kind of bear brotherhood mm-hmm. when it comes to the bear. I know here in Melbourne when it comes to that bear community. So to have people celebrate that, well, yes, we call it a subculture, but it is a community in itself, and it's beautiful to celebrate our bear brothers mm-hmm. on screen. So I think it's wonderful. I think it's absolutely wonderful. What I'm curious, though, I mean, when I've been on your website and the Facebook account, which is a bit private and I can't get through, and that's okay, it seems that a lot, like the films have been self-funded. And it, again, when we're talking about brotherhood, is that where you're able to make this film? Is it the community that are helping contribute to make this film?
Oh, absolutely. All three films were funded privately at first, which are still all friends and all bear brothers and sisters and friends of mine. But, you know, as we would always have this component of crowdfunding, which we kind of made up on our own. And then that just kind of exploded. And by the time we got the third movie, yeah, we were able to full 80% fund the film through the Bear Brotherhood. And that was an amazing thing.
Well, that was our interview with Douglas Langway. Of course, Douglas is the director, writer, producer, creator of the Bear City trilogy. And it is really interesting to hear him talk about, you know, why it is so important. Just hearing him talk about, for instance, how he gets these letters from people all over the world saying that this was the first time they've actually seen themselves on the screen.
Well, it is. And you know, as much as I joke, don't look up gay bear films on the internet, but you do. Okay, inappropriate stuff comes up. But there is no other films of this kind of category. So Bear City is that
name. There are a few web series, but...
Yeah, exactly. And we were even talking about looking, you know, and there are a few characters that kind of, you know, step out, you know, and see that. But we don't see these characters on screen. And I love the bear community. I love, yes, they've got their kind of stereotypes and their tropes and all that sort of stuff. But I love that big anti kind of six pack body, beautiful. I mean, that they kind of embrace that difference, and that's what I love about them.
That's right. I think it's
really positive.
It's welcoming. They welcome gay people.
And yes,
of all body shapes and sizes.
This is what I was saying before. You know, I was trying to think of bears in Hollywood actors who I thought could fit this kind of bear paradigm, and I had a really hard time because I feel like all of our leading men in Hollywood are
a six pack. Gorgeous kind
they're
of,
a particular kind of person.
And not there are
all of them.
Well, Alan, you're going to try and prove us wrong. So you've come up with your list of the top five bears in Hollywood.
With some special mentions.
Some special mentions. Do you want to give us a taster? Or?
No, he's going to make us wait. You'll have to wait.
Okay, well, that's coming up right after this. You're listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And
No, this is Tina Turner. This is her, I think, really great track, Great Spirits, from Disney's 2002 film Brother Bear. So there's a little bit more Disney for you in this Bear Spectacular. But Alan,
I don't know, Daniel. We're going to ban you from selecting the music next time. That's it. You know, over Gina, it's you and me next time. I mean, like this show.
Done.
I'm not giving him any points on the show.
Well, Alan, let's see how many points you can rack up.
It was definitely unbearable.
Four.
Unbearable. Yeah, I know. I know. We've already had one of those.
Your list of the top five bears in Hollywood.
Well, listen, I'm gonna go backwards. So I'm gonna start off with number five. My fifth choice is someone who's a bear. Number fifth.
Yeah.
Is a bear in the making, and he's probably more of an otter / wolf, but that's Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, okay.
You know, quite hairy, great beard.
Not a fan of him, but
you know, he's definitely bear material. And number four, and I don't think you can dispute this, Alec Baldwin is a stereotypical bear when you see him with his beard.
I think he's at daddy stage now, though. He's not as young as he used to be.
No, he's not, but like he's husky, he's big, and is he hairy. He's got a little rug under there, I tell you.
Yeah. My God.
And you know what? Yeah, definitely daddy material.
Definitely daddy.
Without a doubt. Number three, I think is, I think you'd have to come along the journey with me, Liev Schreiber.
I'll go on that journey.
Liev Schreiber, he's Naomi Watts' husband.
Naomi Watts' husband. He was Sabretooth in
X-Men.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
In a quite hairy, great beard, very husky.
Totally see it, Alan.
You know, he's a bear. You know, put him in leather and chaps and, you know, he'll be good to
Bulldog
go.
Bulldog harness. Can see it now.
Number two, Seth Rogen. Say no more.
Yeah, actually.
I see it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, he'd make a very popular bear. I mean, he's funny.
He's funny.
He's lovable. He's got it all happening. He'd have to be, you know, go into the tops in the bear stakes. Oh. Now, as my number one pick for a Hollywood bear is a little bit left of field. And I'm sort of just, I'd like you to sort of think about Orange is the New Black. And so my pick here is, Lee Delaria, who plays Big Boo. So she's definitely, is an Ursula bear by far. So she's my number one pick for a bear in Hollywood. It's a little bit subversive.
I'm surprised we didn't get Daniel Ferranti on that list from looking.
No. Look, you know, that was a bit obvious.
Well, sorry, I don't, hate to be obvious.
But I do have some special mentions. Sean Connery is a polar bear. And, you know, he's definitely a polar bear there, you know.
I reckon a lot of the guys from the True Blood, you know, those werewolf-y kind of guys.
Okay, yeah. And, but that's my special mention there, Sean Connery, polar bear.
Look, that's it for another week of Outtakes. We have to thank Douglas Langway for joining us on Outtakes this evening, the director of Bear Trilogy, and also Goodbye Christopher Robin in cinemas now. Such a great film. That's it for another week of Outtakes.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.